Well, as you remember, we're going through a study of the Ten Commandments. Why did God give us the Ten Commandments? Well, he loves us, and following these commandments will bring his love and protection directly into our lives. The Ten Commandments display his character. The first four, are about our relationship with God. The next six of the ten are all about our relationships with each other. They are inductive. In other words, number one is laid first, and then number two comes on top, and number three, and number four. They have to be built in that order and priority in our lives in order to really be effective. And then, as it says in the scripture in Exodus 20, they were God's recipe for the children of Israel as they were taken from slavery and bondage in Egypt into a nation of their own. These Ten Commandments and all of the bylaws that came out of them were God's recipe to truly enjoy freedom. That's what we hear a lot about these days in the public square, freedom. And here God's saying, I've taken you out of bondage. This is the recipe for you to follow in order to stay free. And so we have these beautiful instructions from God on how to live. Now, just on part A on your outline there, it says the first commandment is all about exclusivity. Worship only Jehovah God. No other gods. The second one's about integrity. Don't worship in any false manner. It says there, no image worship. Don't worship images. And then third one, quality. Reverence God in your words and in your life. Don't take God's name in vain, not just in our vocabulary, but also in our life and our lifestyle. Today we're going to look at number four, which is probably one of the most controversial and divisive of the ten, because we've had entire denominations develop over this one. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. So I enter into this study and my results of study with you today with somewhat of fear and trembling, because I know that these are very sensitive issues. The Sabbath, is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? Can I cut my grass? Can I go to get a hamburger? All these things. And we've come out of history in which the spectrum is wide on what people felt was appropriate in fulfilling this command. So I trust that as we go through it, you'll listen carefully. I've got a lot of things to share with you. It's 10 after 11 already, and I'm just saying, listen it out. Listen to the whole thing. I believe God has given me some insights into this as I've researched and studied it this week that I had never seen before that I'm going to share with you. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for how you teach us not just hypothetical things, but daily life matters that we can incorporate into our lives that will bring from you blessing as you've promised. And so as we study this principle today, I ask that you would open our hearts and minds to your truth, that we would grasp what it is you intended for us. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to do some reading. Exodus chapter 20. We're going to read the first 11 verses, if you would. If you can, please stand with me, and we'll read it in unison together off the screen. And see what we can learn as we just review the first three and then look at number four. Number four commandment has taken the most words, God took the most words to describe number four of all the commands given. This one has more detailed descriptiveness than any of the others. So there's something very intentional here. All right, starting with verse one. And God spake all these words saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Thank you. You may be seated. The first word, we're going to look at some word studies. We go through this title and see what we can grasp from the word study that brings some significant understanding to the entire instruction. So the first word is remember. You know how hard it is to remember. Some things we remember very, very clearly, and some things fog out quite quickly in our life. Remember, keep in mind, don't forget. And there's a reason why God said to the people of Israel and to us today to remember things, because we are forgetful people. I don't know how it goes for you, but certainly in my life I notice I can start to forget things. And all of a sudden I have to be reminded. And so the word remember is a great instruction for us to refresh in our memories, refresh in our conscious mind things that are important. In Exodus chapter 31, starting verse 13, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths, notice the plural, verily my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. What's the sign for? That you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. And I'm going to continue reading the next two verses. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. That's without end. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So the word remember. Remember, because this is a sign that you are totally dependent on God. He created the world we live in. He created us. He's provided food and air and water and all the things we need for life. And taking one day to reflect on that keeps us aware of where we are dependent. Otherwise, we can get into thinking, I don't need God. We still do. And he mercifully provides the air, the water, the food, the environment for us. That is for our sustainability. It's a sign. You know, there's a fascinating thing that I saw here. I don't know if you've ever noticed this before. Within the Trinity of God, you know, God is made of three persons, one Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And when you look at John chapter 1, we understand that it was through God the Son, Jesus Christ, that the world was created. So the Holy Spirit and God the Father, by virtue of these verses, it suggests that they were in observance. They were observing. Watch this. In the beginning, this is John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And this is a capital W. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And then verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who's that? Jesus. So we see here that the Godhead, within the Godhead, you had this beautiful picture of their relationships, but one taking on the role of being the creator. It gives us understanding as we get further along. Remember that little principle. Sabbath. The word Sabbath comes up next. Remember the Sabbath. Well, what does Sabbath mean? Sabbath means intermission or rest. The most analogous picture that comes to my mind is in the sports domain. If you have the halftime period in a football game, all the players go off the field, they go to the dressing rooms, and they take a rest. They rehydrate, maybe they deal with some injuries, but they have a chance to just rest in anticipation of the next half. Or in hockey, it's the intermission or the period break between periods 1, 2, and 3. They take a rest. They go to the dressing room and they rest. It's an intermission. It's a rest time. And in God's instruction here, the Sabbath is instructed as 1 out of 7. Sabbath was to be recognized as 1 out of 7, not just in terms of days, and we'll see that in a minute. Exodus chapter 16 is the beginning of how this was introduced. Now watch this. Exodus chapter 16 occurs before the Ten Commandments were given. Okay? Before the Ten Commandments were given. Ten Commandments are Exodus chapter 20. So before the Ten Commandments are given, God instructs the people with this very fascinating way that they are to survive. Remember that he took them out of Egypt, about 2 million people, took them out of Egypt, took them across the Red Sea, into the wilderness where there is no wild fruit to eat. And he said, now I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to provide food for you. And starting in verse 23, and God said it to them, Moses said it to them, this is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Before the Ten Commandments. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that which ye will seethe. So they either baked it or boiled it. And that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. That's good. Right? No one wants to eat something that stinks, and no one wants to eat anything that's got worms in it. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass, as you can expect with human nature, that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse you to keep my commandment and my laws? See that for the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide you every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like waters or wafers made with honey. God provided food for that many people. And on that sixth day, there was enough potentially there for them to gather. They still have to do the work of gathering it. There was enough of it there potentially to be gathered that they would have enough for the seventh day, and they could rest on the seventh day. Day off. Remember, there was no other work for them. They were wandering, just sustaining life. So this was their primary work. To get food, they would have to gather. On the seventh, they didn't have to go out and gather. Then chapter 23. Are you getting the picture? Hello? Okay, good. chapter 23, verse 10. Watch this, because it's not just the seventh day. 6 years thou shalt sow thy land and shalt gather in the fruits thereof, but the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat. What they leave, the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thine handmaiden and thy stranger may be refreshed. Introducing there the fact that this Sabbath principle applies to more than just the week. It applies in broader sense in terms of years. Leviticus chapter 26. Are you still with me? Okay. Leviticus chapter, well, first let's go 25, or 26, yeah, 26 verses 31 to 35. And I will make your cities waste. This is God pronouncing impending judgment on Israel if they do not obey him in these instructions. And I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries into desolation. I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors, and I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Watch this. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate, and you be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. In other words, even if you desecrate the seventh year by going out and continuing to try and farm it, God's keeping track. And he's saying, the land deserves its rest. Fascinating. The seventh year. Then you go over to 2 Chronicles, because we know that for a period of time, the children of Israel did not apply the Sabbath principle. I just want to build a bigger picture here. At the Garden of Eden, when God created the world, we'll look at that in a minute, he had the seventh day as a day of rest. We read nothing more about that for the following 2,500 years. Here we are now in this time and place in which he's been delivering them from Egypt, and he establishes with them through, first of all, the manna process, a seventh day rest. And then through further commandments, he gives them the seventh year rest. And they expect him to follow that. And we know that for the following 850 years, there were many years where they did not. And then we go to 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, verse 17. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, had no compassion upon young men or maiden, old men, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into the enemy's hand, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon, their conqueror. And they burnt the house of God and broke down the wall of Jerusalem and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. Remember that judgment God brought upon Israel and Judah? And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon. That's how Daniel got there. Where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the king of Persia. Why? Verse 21. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. So God is saying, I've kept track of this. And you as a people have defiled the land rest principle. And the land is now owed 70 years. For 70 years, he put them into captivity so that the land would have its rest. They couldn't till the land. Does God keep track of things? Oh, my. We have no idea. We're worried about digital ID through our phones tracking us all over the place. But my God keeps track of things. He knows the details, and certainly proved it here in the case of Israel in this profound statement about how those 7 years of captivity were intended to make up for those years in which they had defied the instruction to give the land its rest. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 25. We go to the word day, Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's more than the day. The principle of the Sabbath is much broader than just the day. I don't want to be critical, but I'm intrigued by those who so diligently hold to the Sabbath as the Saturday deal. But what about the seventh year? What about the 50th year? Watch this. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow the field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land. A Sabbath, who? For the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thine vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord, and there will be natural growth, of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. The Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you. You can use it to eat, but you can't use it to sell. And whatever grew on land anywhere became available to anybody. It's the Sabbath year. What naturally grows is also something that's available for your neighbor or for the refugee. Anybody coming through had the right to eat in the Sabbath year. For thy servant and for thy maid and for thy hired servant and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee and for thy cattle and for the beasts that are in the land shall all the increase thereof be meat. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. So we have the weekly Sabbath, we have the yearly, or the 7-year Sabbath, and now we have a Sabbath of 7 Sabbaths years, 49 years. Are you still with me? Okay. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, which is the Day of Atonement. In the Day of Atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land, and you shall howl the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man to his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed, for it is the jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. So, year 49, Sabbath year. It's a jubilee year. Another Sabbath year. 2 years off. Not only was it off in terms of active farming, but also was a reset for the economy. The entire economy was reset. Debts were canceled. People who had leased land, it was returned to the original owner. Tribal drift that had occurred, the original boundaries of the tribes went back to the described boundaries for the tribes that God gave them. It was the great reset, the biblical way, the great reset. God designed it, knowing that through our normal activities of business life, things can get out of bounds. Isn't it cool? Chapter 16. I know the Old Testament's totally irrelevant, right? Who needs the Old Testament? It means nothing. I'm saying that facetiously. There's so much wisdom in God's prescription for his people. Chapter 16, verse 29. This shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the seventh day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. God has established seven feasts that were for the children of Israel, in which they would set aside and focus on something particularly that God had designed. The Passover, Feast of First Fruits, Feast of Unleavened Bread, then the Feast of First Fruits, then the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles. Did you know that six out of the seventh have prescribed within them extra Sabbaths? They start with a Sabbath. 7 or 8 days later, it ends with a Sabbath. It's not just the Saturdays. It's not just the seventh year. It's not just the 50th year. It's within every year certain feasts that also have prescribed days of rest. Isn't that cool? It's called the Sabbath principle. And so much of our community has gotten stuck only on Saturdays. And we've neglected the Bible teaching and all the other aspects. And I'm particularly intrigued in how God has such a regard to give his land rest. Who owns it? Who owns this world? God does. We're temporary sojourners. We think, oh, my estate. You know, I'm going to pass it on to my kids and my grandkids. Okay, yeah. But ultimately, God created it. He owns it. And he's got instructions on how he wants it cared for. Is our economy even close to this? We're a long ways off. And we wonder why we have all these distortions. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12. Ezekiel? Yeah, Ezekiel. Chapter 20, verse 12. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths, plural, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctifies them. The Sabbath is our call to remember God. Just remember. Next word, holy. Clean, special, sacred, consecrated to God. That is the concept of holiness, something that is dedicated and cleansed and all filth and selfish tainting is removed. It's pure for God's purposes. Now, I'm going to throw something at you that I was blessed to be taught this week, and I've been going to church since I was in the womb. I don't know how many hundreds and thousands of sermons and stuff I've heard. But still, God shows me something new. Through others, through his word. And I want you to turn to Mark chapter 3. That seems like a long ways from the Ten Commandments. But just watch this, watch this. Mark chapter 3. Jesus is about to appoint his disciples. And it says there in verse 13, and Jesus goes up into a mountain and calls unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12. What? What's the first thing? What's the first purpose? He ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he would, that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal in sicknesses and to cast out devils. But what's the first thing? He might be with them. With him. Yesterday we saw Therese and Rebecca get married. They went from a relationship of friends and then an engaged couple to now a married couple. They have a relationship. They have a relationship. Many of us who've been married a long time may have a relationship that's formally legal. The question is, how much fellowship do we enjoy? God says, oh, I can save you. You can repent of your sins and I can cleanse you of your sin and you can be my child. But the question is, how much fellowship do we enjoy together? I believe that was the purpose of the Sabbath, for fellowship with God. I don't know if you ever thought about it. We always talk about relationship. You know, everything's about relationship. But there's a lot of verses. I went through a lot of them. I don't have time today. About fellowship. What is it? What does God call us to in this context of fellowship? And I found this little phrase here, probably the most accurate depiction of it. They were with him. They just spent time with him. They walked where he walked. They ate what he ate. They watched what he did. They were just with him every step of the way. Acts chapter 4. Verse 13, and through that, God gave them power to do all those things that were listed after that, to heal diseases and cast out demons and all kinds of things. Acts chapter 4, verse 13, now when they saw, when the people around them saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, what? That they had been with Jesus. That's what the power, that's where their power source was. It wasn't their degree, it wasn't their school, it wasn't their ancestry, their socioeconomic class. They had been with Jesus. And power came into their life. Has God changed? No. He invites us to the same level of fellowship with him today. And I believe that when the Bible says that keep the Sabbath holy, it means the first priority ought to be fellowship with our Creator. That means music, that means prayer, that means encouraging each other as fellow followers, that means attentiveness to what God is going to say to us. That's fellowship. Can you imagine if my wife and I, now we're approaching 40 years, can you imagine, oh yeah, we're married, but we never talked. What would that be? Oh, yes, we have a relationship, but we don't talk. We don't share the inner dreams, the inner burdens, the inner concerns and woes of our hearts. We're just like drifting further. And God says, is that happening between me and you? Do you talk with me? Do you seek to pay attention to my hurts and my concerns? Oh, God has concerns. That's what brings holiness. Then it goes on to say in verse 9, Exodus 20, in 6 days do all your work. Does God ordain work? Absolutely. God ordains work and says, do it for 6 days. 6 days work. We're all so mixed up today. We got 4 day weeks. We got, you know, four on, four off. We got all these different sequences of work. And I know, I remember back when I was a kid, basically everybody had Saturday, Sunday off. And then the retail started opening. And, you know, Saturday was still open, but Sunday was definitely closed. Sunday was for emergencies only. There was nothing open. How many remember that? Yeah. See, you young bucks? There was a time like that. I'm not making it up. It's true. Sometimes you couldn't even get a gas station open to fill your car. In honor to our Creator. 6 days do all your work. That's service, your employment, your trade, your labor. And then it says there, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant. All these people under your authority, make sure they don't work. In other words, don't cheat it. Don't you stay home and rest and tell all your people to go work for you. Don't do that. No one under your authority is to work. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. What do you think about as you ponder the activity of fellowship with God? Well, he gives us some starting places, icebreakers, so to speak. He says, reflect on how I've blessed you. Reflect on all the good things that I've brought into your life. Let that be an icebreaker between you and me in our fellowship. And thank me for it. And begin to reflect on how, oh my, God used that person, God used that person, and God brought along these circumstances. God opened that door for me, and I got that job, and then we were able to get that house. And God has wonderfully provided for us. Amen? Yes. Let that be a starting point. And it doesn't matter if you do it every week, because you might forget. You might forget. I noticed even in terms of human relationships, one of the greatest poison to human relationships is beginning to allow yourself to focus on the negatives of the other person rather than on the blessings of the other person. That's a poison to any relationship. And that same thing is with God. Well, God, why did you let so-and-so die? And what? God's sovereign. He knows what he's doing. Don't even think you could begin to understand what he's got in mind. But thank him for the good things. Don't be critical. Bless him. Thank him. And watch how God will turn your heart from ugly bitterness to a heart full of joy. Does this make sense? This is powerful. This is powerful for the quality of life we can enjoy. Don't cheat it. Now, verse 11. Why? For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. You know, God didn't need rest in sense of having a nap. He doesn't have a nap. The Bible tells us he doesn't sleep. He doesn't need to sleep. He's not dealing with a deteriorating being as we are. The model from creation in Genesis chapter 2 is fascinating. Genesis chapter 2, at the very end of the week of creation, it says there in verse 1, this, the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. I believe there was a little holy celebration. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and they got together and, well done, son, you've created an amazing universe. Can you see the fellowship between the three? Wow! What an amazing macro and micro levels of design. And they took a break, an intermission, to reflect and bless each other. That was the completeness of it all. And of course, man, Now, you got to remember this. What day of the week was man created? Six. So actually, the seventh day was his first day. Right? He was created on this. I don't know if it was before lunch or after lunch, evening. I'm not sure. But the sixth day he was created, and the seventh day God rested, and that was man's first day. He's going, wow, this is amazing. Now, it might have been morning because God had enough time to see that Adam was desperately hopeless without Eve, and so he created Eve for him. And together, along with the Trinity, they were celebrating the wonder of God's new world. First day for mankind, the seventh day for God. God moves from hardware to software. Hardware being all the physical, tangible world he created. Software being, what is it for? It was intended for fellowship between God and man. What ruined it? Sin. Sin ruined it. But the original intent was for God to have fellowship with his creation, both the animals and the wildlife of the plants, the everything, and mankind, and put over charge in charge of all of it. This is a wonderful world I've created. Let's enjoy it together. And sin ruined it. It's fascinating there in that verse. It says in Genesis 20, God blessed it. Rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. That word blessed is only three times in the Bible in the original Hebrew. Only three times. And its meaning is to kneel. The very essence of that word blessed is the function of kneeling in honor to bless. Can you imagine? God blessed it. In other words, he said, kneel before me. Thank God for what you've been blessed with here. And then it becomes holy. The depth of our relationship with God deeply affects the achievement of holiness. Holiness is not something that comes out of our tainted, sinful nature. It comes as a result of God. And as we bless him and turn our hearts toward him and allow his love to fill us, and we receive his love and his presence, we are entered into a state of holiness in our fellowship with him. Amen? Oh. Fellowship with the Creator, hallowed. It's blessed and hallowed. Now, what about Saturday or Sunday? Wow. Okay, there was a fellow at the wedding yesterday. He's from Israel. It was Teresa's best man, and so I chatted with him about this afterwards. He very, very faithfully honors the Sabbath, Shabbat. And I asked him about this, and I said, so, what's your view on Saturday versus Sunday? Well, you can imagine. Can you see something here? The principle of Sabbath goes far beyond Saturday. That's number one. Can you grasp that? Because we have the year. We have the Jubilee. We have the feasts in which certain days are set aside as special and they're declared to have a Sabbath. So it's more than just a Saturday. It's very important. And of course, it was God's instruction the seventh day to celebrate and reflect on creation. And then, of course, Jesus came to deal with the sin that had cursed all of his creation. And he died, was buried, rose again on the first day. And on the first day, we celebrate spiritual life creation. Victory over death that was the consequence of sin on all of creation. Now, if you look at the scriptures, you're going to see that there's some fascinating transitions here. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Jesus. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? What wisdom is this which he hath given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Jesus honored and attended the synagogues on the Sabbath day. Acts chapter 17, Paul. The Hebrew culture, this was their day, and it still is. And it's a perpetual covenant, the scripture says, with them forever. I believe there will be Sabbaths in heaven. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them in three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the scriptures. And then chapter 20, verse 7. Or 18, verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So they met on the Sabbath. And then chapter 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, something happened. First day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow and continue his speech until midnight. So he'd gathered with people in the synagogues on the Sabbath, and he'd gathered with the disciples, followers of Jesus, on the first day. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2 tells us that there was a gathering of the believers that occurred weekly on the first day of the week, which was in honor of the resurrection of the Lord. That's where we get it from. Now concerning the collection for the saints, or the offerings, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay up by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings or collections when I come. As part of your gatherings on the first day of the week, take the offerings that you're going to give to pass on to those who are in need in other situations. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. John, in this incredible experience that God took him through in this vision in Revelation, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, first day of the week, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. So some may say, well, is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? If the goal is fellowship with the Lord, why not both? I know you're looking at me going, what is he really saying? I'm supposed to come to church on Saturday? Fellowship with the Lord isn't just a church. We gather on Sunday as part of what has been the tradition for those who are Gentiles. The Jewish people still gather on Saturdays. It starts Friday night to Saturday evening. We're much more geared towards the day starting in the morning. Although Genesis did say in creation, the evening and the morning are the first day. So God's clock actually starts in the evening. God's clock actually starts with rest. It's not such a bad idea on Sunday then. The day of rest, first day of the week. If you get the sense that I'm not giving you an actual factual answer one way or another, you got it right. But I'm sharing this with you because we can get so hung up with the day that we miss the purpose. Fellowship with the Lord and his people. Jesus had a situation in which he had to correct people, of course, many times. Matthew chapter 12, I'm going to close with this. You've been very good listening. I hope it's helpful to you. The point here is that the people of his day, the Jewish people, had made such a deal about the Saturday. They were ready to, like, war over it. And only the Saturday. We have no record of the sabbatical year. We have no record of the Jubilee year being honored. Can you see how we can get kind of narrow in our view, and as a result can get kind of legalistic? They say that one of the greatest ways Satan tempts us is when he takes our field of view and narrows it down to just one little spot, and then we get really hung up on that. It can happen. Matthew chapter 12. Now, of course, the Levites and priests worked on the Sabbath. You know that. because there was a burnt offering every Sabbath. They had all kinds of work to do. They were slaughtering animals, and they were collecting the debris and taking it out to the dunghill. Oh, I mean, there was all kinds of work for them to do. Watch this, Matthew chapter 12. At the time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungry, and he began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." But he said unto them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?" They're following God's instructions. "But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this meaneth, 'I will have mercy and not sacrifice,' you would have not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day." And it goes on to another man with a withered hand and how he healed him on the Sabbath day. And it says at the end there, "Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him over the Sabbath day." And Jesus is saying, "I came here to bring blessing to people, to bring glory to God. I am Lord of the Sabbath." That it's not about the day. It's about the greatness of God. Can you grasp that? Can you keep that as your focus? And as you do, you'll actually be able to enjoy it versus get hung up on all the legalistic aspects. Does that make sense to you? How is your fellowship with Jesus? Do you have a day with the Lord? We talk about it in the context of relationships between humans, date night. Do you have a date day with the Lord? Where you focus on just, "Lord, this is your, I'm going to just set aside the other things that can distract me." And work does distract us. I know in some jobs you can be singing to praises to the Lord while you work, but not all. And so there's distraction that comes. But God has prescribed a day. And he's saying, take a day out of seven. Take a year out of seven. Take seven sevens and take an extra year. And give me praise. There, that's the fourth commandment. That's the fourth of the relationships between us and God. Next week, we start between us as humans. And it starts with the home. Honor your father and mother. And we'll see what we can learn about that. And then we get into all the others. And they are also inductive, just as these were. I invite your questions, your comments. I welcome you to email me or to just phone up and talk about it. I'm learning like you are. But the greatest lesson for me out of this study has been, am I hung up on the day to the point where I have not really enjoyed fellowship with the Lord? Forgive me, Lord. Let's pray. Dear God, the whole purpose of it all was to give you praise and honor and glory and to remember our dependency upon you. You cause every one of our heartbeats to happen, all of our organs to work, the air we breathe, the water, the food. You bring it all to pass for our survivability, and we want to stop and remember you. So thank you for your prescription. Forgive us where we have forgotten. Grant us grace to remember. And guide us that in our walk, in following these steps, we would be drawn closer and closer to you. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.